2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for I am suffering even to the point of being channeled like a criminal. Sorry, that's chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen, and may God help us to fully understand the meaning of these words.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we have gathered here yet again as your people, we ask you in this time of worship, in this time of preaching and reflecting upon your word, that your peace would fill our minds and our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon each of us. We pray that you will use this time to draw us closer to Jesus and closer to each other. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. Last week, it was a blessing to have a change of pace and hear from different voices in the service. And our thanks again go out to our friend, Reverend Lorna Murray, and also to Solomon Suman Halder for joining us and sharing about the vital work of TLM Bangladesh. We continue to keep their work in our prayers. So this week, we're going back into this series on 2 Timothy. And to refresh our memories just for a moment, a couple of weeks ago, we heard that Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, who was a younger pastor, probably Paul's protege, who he referred to as my dear son. And that's quite a term of endearment. We also heard that Paul wrote this particular letter to encourage Timothy during what was a very difficult season of ministry. And he counseled Timothy, we heard, that he should never be ashamed of the cost of following Jesus as Lord and Savior. So, another important thing to know this week is that 2 Timothy is likely the last or one of the last letters that Paul dictated and sent. And we know from other letters that Paul often used a scribe. And we might assume if it's Paul's last letter, it would be the last letter in his collection. But that's not how Scripture is organized. So when we read this letter, though, read the whole of 2 Timothy, the letter reads like a farewell letter. It's full of Paul's reflections about his own ministry. It's full of charges to Timothy, instruction to Timothy. And it's also filled with Paul's own yearning for heaven, his yearning to be with Jesus, and his strong confidence in God's salvation. So that's a bit of an overview of this letter. We'll take a closer look now at today's text. Today's passage starts with one of the many charges that Paul gives to Timothy. At the start, he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." In other words, pass on what you have heard from me, Timothy. Keep the good news going out. Keep spreading the gospel. Keep sharing Jesus. Don't give up, even when it gets tough. Oh, so far, so good, right? Then we come to verses 3 and 4, where Paul says to endure hardship, or to more literally, join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So, endure hardship, or join with me in suffering. That's quite an invitation, isn't it? Who here would like to accept such an invitation? Anyone? I'm shocked. I think we can all agree that suffering is a difficult subject, isn't it? Suffering comes in all shapes and sizes, and no one is immune from its touch. One of the wisest teachings that I ever heard about when we talk about human suffering is that it's folly to compare people's suffering, right? It's that you can't quantify it, right? Suffering is suffering, okay? And sometimes it seems more severe than others, to be sure. We look at the news today, we see what's happening around the world in countries like Ukraine, and this horrific escalation of violence by Putin, missile strikes against innocent civilians. We see suffering around us all the time. With our media, we know that if it bleeds, it leads, sadly. Our headlines are full of it, right? And so we're reminded when we encounter suffering, when we talk about it, when we reflect on its meaning as Christians, we should never talk about it lightly, right? And I must confess that I felt a sense of challenge and hardship as I was preparing today's sermon. Writing about this really weighed on me as I wrote, because it is a heavy subject. But maybe that's natural, and that's okay. When we think about the reality of suffering and how we engage with it as Christians, we notice that in our world, especially in our kind of culture, our Western culture, we spend so much time, so much energy, so much money, so much thought on the avoidance of suffering. Don't we? Really? Yeah. In fact, the quality of our lives is often measured by the lack of suffering in our lives. The less we suffer, the less hardship, the better our lives seem to be. This is a very common thought, isn't it? Okay. And in fact, the reality of hardship and suffering, or what C.S. Lewis calls the problem of pain, It's often one of the greatest stumbling blocks in the life of faith. Suffering presents us with a real challenge to our faith. It can make it hard to have and to hold on to faith. We're inclined to treat suffering as something that upsets or even defeats God's will for our lives. This is the basic teaching of the so-called prosperity gospel, which claims that God wants everyone to be happy, healthy, and of course, rich. Might go without saying, but that's a false gospel. I want to be perfectly clear that if we take nothing else from this sermon today, please take this right here. If we treating suffering as something that defeats God's plan is not Christian. Living a life obsessed with avoiding suffering is not Christian. I'm going to repeat those. Treating suffering as something that defeats God's plan is not Christian. Living a life obsessed on avoiding suffering is not Christian. As noted by the American pastor and writer Tim Keller, treating suffering as an aberration, as something to be avoided at all costs, this desire doesn't come from the gospel. It comes from an atheistic, a secular view of the world, as if this world is all there is, so we have to make it as good as we possibly can. This view of the world has no room for God's presence, for his Holy Spirit, for the redemptive power in every circumstance that we face. And this mentality is permeating our world about avoiding suffering. But Scripture and the past 2,000 years of Christian thought, they take a vastly different view of suffering. Nowhere ever does the Bible deny suffering. Never, not once. It never says that suffering and pain are good things. It never says that either. Because if we enjoyed our own suffering, that'd be masochistic. And if we enjoyed the suffering of others, that'd be sadistic. So Scripture says that suffering is not inherently good, but it acknowledges it. And it says something greater. It says that God can and God does work through suffering in ways that any of us can hardly begin to imagine. In ways that are beyond our imagination. In ways we cannot begin to understand, God is at work even in our suffering. And as proof that God works through suffering, first and always foremost, we point to Jesus Christ. Right? That's where we as Christians must always start. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that our redemption and our wholeness, they came through the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is made clear for us in another letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians when he said that, and Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, in Jesus, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, Paul writes, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by and through the blood of his cross. So by suffering on the cross, through his saving death, Jesus paid the full price for our sin and won salvation for all who have faith in him. That's the gospel right there. And we take note that Jesus also said, very truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. It's from John chapter 13. So in other words, if Jesus endured suffering, endured hardship, then we as his disciples and followers should expect the same. But that isn't the end of the story. It's not just suffering for the sake of suffering. As followers of Jesus, the suffering that we endure, the hardship we face, can point us and others back to the saving work of Jesus on the cross. Put that another way, that the suffering and the hardship that we face reminds us of what life is truly all about. It reminds us that we need to keep our faith and our hope in God and in nothing and no one else. Suffering powerfully strips away false senses of security that we find in relationships, in money, in health. It reminds us that we are not in charge. It reminds us that every day, every hour, every minute, every second is a gift from God and must not be taken for granted. Every single human being, whoever you are, will experience a kind of suffering. I don't care if you're Elon Musk or a refugee fleeing from Ukraine. Every single human being will experience it in one form or another. And by itself, suffering can lead to bitterness and despair. But when approached through the lens of faith, faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, mysteriously, profoundly, suffering can lead to spiritual growth. Suffering itself can be a catalyst for closeness to Jesus Christ. And I don't say this cheaply or lightly. It can be a long, painful, confusing process, a lifelong process. But it can be the means through which we are drawn closer to Christ and to each other. One of my favorite writers is a woman whose name is Sister Joan Chichester. Sister Joan Chichester, she's a Benedictine nun who has written extensively on Christian spirituality, including the topic of suffering. Many years ago, about 10 years ago now, I found myself wandering in deep darkness in my life. It was one of the hardest periods of my entire life. And my friend and fellow pastor, Eric Peterson, told me about a book that Sister Joan had written about struggle and suffering. This is the book right here. Right? It's called Scarred by Struggle and Transformed by Hope. And it's even endorsed by the actor Martin Sheen. So it must be good, right? If you've never seen Martin Sheen in The West Wing, please treat yourself and watch it. But this book is written as an extended reflection on Genesis 32, which is the account of Jacob wrestling with God. It's one of the best passages in the entire Bible. And Sister Joan's book is one of those books which you probably, if you buy, you should buy 10 copies. About 10 copies. One for yourself, and 9 others to give away to other people. It's one of those books, right? And when I first read it, this is not my first copy of it, when I first read it, I think I found myself highlighting every single page. It's that good. So I hope I've convinced you to take a look at it. You want to take a closer look at this copy, you're very welcome after service as well. But near the end of this remarkable book, Sister Joan writes the following. She writes that struggle changes us. It grows us up. It takes the dew off the rose and the guilt off the silver. It turns the fantasies of life into reality. But struggle does more than that, she writes. It also gives depth, life depth and vision, insight and understanding, compassion and character. It not only transforms us, listen to this, it not only transforms us, it makes us transforming as well. Then we become equal to the pressures of the world around us. Once we have truly struggled with something that stretches the elastic of the spirit, we are worthy to walk with others in struggle and suffering too. That is when we're ready to listen, when we know the meaning of what it is to struggle with something in life. That is when we become totally human. Every page is that good, I promise you. When viewed in this way, we view struggle and suffering and hardship in this way, we don't have to be as afraid of it as the wider world wants us to be. Instead, we as Christians can say we hold on to a hope that transcends this world, that transcends death, hardship, and suffering. And instead, we can view our struggles and our hardships, our suffering, as how God draws us ever closer to Jesus and to each other. I think this is what Paul had in mind when he invited Timothy and when he invites us to endure hardship, to share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So as we go into another week together, we reflect on these words of Paul in 2 Timothy. And may we ask God for the grace that we need, and we need it. We need God's help to do this. We need God's help to follow Jesus, to trust in him, especially and even through the darkness and uncertainty of hardship and suffering. May we trust that the Holy Spirit is always at work in us and can use every part of our lives to draw us and others to Jesus Christ. May we trust God with every part of who we are so that, like Paul, our whole lives, the good, the bad, the everything in between, will bear true witness to the good news of Jesus. So let's do our duty as followers of Jesus and follow him and trust him always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.